Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Distraction Podcast, where the discussion happens. I'm your host, Holiday, and they are my conversationalists, Dre and Heavy D. We are brought to you by the Distraction Network. You can download our podcast at www.distractionnetwork.com or send out a tweet and let them know how you love us at distract_net. You can also email us at distractionnetwork@gmail.com and or like us on Facebook at distractnet. All right, now all the red tape's out the way. Let's go get it. Check, 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 check. We here, M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I. Yeah, St. Louis is small, but we still do it all. We hit them all. I don't know no more of it. STL is where we stay, in the middle of no coast.
Y'all know that, do you?
I don't.
And that's actually your time.
Is it? Who is that?
When was you in high school? What year was it when you was 14?
When I was 14, that would have been 2001.
Yeah, you was about 15 or 16. Probably like 15 when this came out.
Who was that?
St. Lunatics.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, no. I've heard of them.
Because it's a Midwest swine. Y'all, they ain't got a clue. Why my cutly blue when I got them things in my car phone too? It's a Midwest swine, y'all.
What are we talking about? And are we ready to talk?
What up, guys? Dre's here.
What's going on?
D, ain't you here?
I'm here, yeah.
He is here. Y'all, guess what? D is here. He's been gone for like 12 weeks. He went on the tour around the world. And then he went on an extra tour around the moon. Mm-hmm. And now he's back, though. So, he came back for this one subject, and he's going to go again for the rest of the summer.
Close to the truth, but not really.
Like Icarus getting close to the sun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, something like that. Yeah.
All right, so y'all ready for the subject today? I am. I've been waiting for this for 100 days.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that what we're talking about?
that's what we're talking about.
Is my mic on?
Your mic is on.
I feel like I'm sabotaged every week. I feel like my mic is purposely
lowered. I got the first complaint about your voice today. And I have to go and redo the whole thing because I did not. Oh, yeah. Probably because you don't speak directly into the mic.
No, I always speak directly into the mic. I think you guys adjust my levels on purpose to keep me quiet. No.
Who is you guys? I don't do anything post-production. That's all him over there.
Well, I mean, because it's consistent. Like, even when I even when I hijacked your mic, I was still the lowest one in the room.
I don't know, man. I had nothing to do with post-production.
Leads me to believe that I'm purposely being turned down
In the very beginning, you were being purposely turned down because your deep voice.
My voice is bottom heavy. It's not loud, so you have to turn me up.
Our first complaints was that you was too loud and everybody else was slow.
No, I don't believe that was a real complaint.
And then,
because I've listened to every podcast and I've never been the loudest one.
I turned down your voice, and now I just got my first complaint about your voice today. So what I'm going to do.
Well, first of all, let's clarify, the problem was, I doubt very seriously that you got a complaint about my voice. You probably got a complaint about the volume and the mic levels.
That's what I got a complaint about.
Okay. That's accurate.
And they said that horrible sounding guy sounds worse this week. I was like, Dre?
They didn't say that.
Actually what happened was I was bombarded with a whole bunch of stuff, so I did not remember. It was like 10:30 last night. And I was like, man, I still got to do this stuff. And I did it. And then I forgot to duplicate it. And I forgot to normalize it. I forgot to overdub it. And I put it out there. And then this morning when I was told.
So you knowingly put out something subpar?
No, I did not. I
ignorantly
just forgot all of it.
Wasn't
and
aware.
I got reminded at 6 o'clock this morning because I have someone that checks it. As soon as they wake up to make sure. It's basically the QR, sound QR, what you call it? Sound quality, QR.
Basically, QA, maybe quality assurance?
QA.
So I have a QA person that basically listens to him, and she told me first thing this morning.
Who is this person?
I don't know.
Gina.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to have to go back.
Hey, Regina.
No, I got to go back and take a name out.
Well, QA person, whoever you are, nameless, faceless person, please have my back because, you know, I get tired of moaning and complaining about how I sound. So maybe if it comes from somebody else, there are adjustments that will be made.
No, she's not that important.
He's obviously taking all of this out. Like everything we've been talking about this whole time, he's probably about to start over here in a second. So
it's okay. I'll randomly say it in the middle of dialogue cut out.
While we're just there's like a little butt on the microphone. You see the front? That's where you're supposed to talk. The butt.
Microphone. Yeah, you're supposed to speak into the ass.
I don't know what that means.
There's a symbol on there.
There's a symbol that looks like two butt cheeks, like some sagging butt cheeks.
Well, yeah. First of all, let's not act like we have lights in here. That's number one.
You trying to say we're recording in the dark all romantic, absolutely. And everything?
Well, I don't know if that's the case or if you're just too cheap to pay your light bill. I don't know what the reason is. I just know that it's dark in here.
So do something, does it feel like you're being tickled underneath sometime in the middle of the podcast?
What?
Is somebody reaching around?
I don't know what's happening. I'm going to be quiet.
Is that what you're doing over there?
is that why everybody's laughing all the time on this podcast?
Is that what you're doing over there?
It's lots of reaching around. Hey, that's
what is going on.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, but I'm uncomfortable and I feel like I might need an adult.
This is that moment where you're like, I'm ready to talk about Donald Trump instead of this.
Yeah, like I really now, I have a lot to say about him, though.
We'll get into it, but.
Well, we're just talking about the 100 days. What did we experience these first 100? First of all, welcome to the Distraction Podcast. I'm your host, Holiday. Here's my conversationalist. We're going to call you discussionists, our discussion guys. We'll stay with conversationalists because that sounds better. Dre and Heavy D, y'all doing well today, this week?
Yeah, as well as can be.
All right, I'm going to go switch this button on, but while I'm doing that, let's go ahead and introduce the subject today. Oh, yeah. Well, she said it's cool to have her on the podcast, so I'm not erasing none of it. Donald Trump, the 45, very first highlighter orange president that we've had. As of January the 20th.
I can't say it's not true. Like, I feel like he brought me here just for me to argue with everyone, but I can't say he's not true.
I feel like to say anything about the ridiculousness of his aesthetic presentation is the equivalent of pointing at a blind person and saying, hey, that guy can't see. Like, it's obviously ridiculous that I feel simple even saying anything about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, right. I will not be going through the dictionary for these words today. So you got to look them up yourself.
I don't know why that would be necessary to begin with, but okay.
You started out with four dictionary words.
Well, I think where you're going there is like, you know how you just don't make fun of like mentally handicapped people.
Right.
A lot of people feel right. like you've had yourself. Enough, like you've talked about in a different podcast where you're not too sure.
Yeah.
If he's not, right?
Yeah. So you No. So that,
somewhere
that's George.
Deep down inside, this feels wrong, right?
Yeah. No, so, I don't think that 45 is mentally challenged at all. I just think he is insanely narcissistic and self-absorbed and self-promoting. But no, I don't think he's mentally challenged. Actually, I think he's a bright man.
So you don't think that if Carlos Mancini was still making jokes, he would call him a deep, deep, deep?
No,
I think he would. I don't know. Well, y'all know my opinion. Mm-hmm. It varies all the way around.
He'll call anybody that if they pay him. So it's cool.
Oh, yes.
He's for hire.
What is he doing right now? Probably nothing. Anyway, back to the subject. All right, so you was making an interesting point earlier today, D. You said that he only did because he was blocked so many times, only a couple of things went through.
No. What I was really saying was really the only thing that you can take away from his first 100 days, short of what has happened here recently, because that was past 100 days. But the only thing you can take away is Justice Gorsuch being brought in. That's the only thing that he's actually done.
100
That's
the only thing that he's Saturday? Changed. 100 right. days was Saturday, right?
Yeah, and as of Thursday, he passed his first bipartisan bill. So this past 100 days, and he got $1.1 trillion to keep the government running through October or through September.
Where'd that money come from?
Where all money comes from, right? Just out of thin air, they just grab it.
But no, it doesn't come out of thin air. So that's why. I mean, that wasn't me asking you to see if you knew. That was me asking because I don't know. But it would be interesting to find out where that money came from, because it doesn't come out of thin air.
There were cuts that happened. I should just look it up while we're doing this and tell you everything, because they
cut Hood.
They were cutting.
Well, we knew that, right? Like, we knew that when he appointed Ben Carson. But that hadn't happened
yet. That hadn't gone through the process yet. So, and those are the kind of things that are going to take a while. So, like, his immigration ban, that got blocked. His repealing.
Build the wall? Did
repealing,
they get blocked?
That they really haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
I mean,
okay,
they're they're still on the contract proposal point at this
point. I bet there's some people out there right now.
That was actually, that was one of the big portions of that $1.1 trillion plan, was that he put in there that there would have to be like a down payment for the wall. And so it got, that part got destroyed, and they pulled it out, and they went ahead and passed the bill without it. But it was actually like, it overwhelmingly passed. So it was a bipartisan vote for it. So this was the first time he's ever had actually Democrats vote for something. But again, that's so that way they can continue to work and get paid, right? But really everything he's done has been blocked except for the Supreme Court justice that he appointed, which makes sense. And I also think that there was a very sharp learning curve for him, because he's not in the government. He wasn't in the military. He wasn't in the government. He was a businessman. And I think it's kind of appalling that people are surprised there was going to be a learning curve. I mean, obviously there's going to be a learning curve, right? I mean, he's
don't
never
put
been
words in my mouth. I knew that.
Right, right. And a lot of people, I think, are actually really
somebody
surprised.
Up too high. Hold on. Keep talking.
What? I think people are actually surprised that there was like this big learning curve from him, and I felt like everybody should have known there was going to be a learning curve for the president. But maybe there's, maybe they're expecting more. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're expecting more from the president. I don't expect more from him. I actually expected, I was hoping for less, because I was hoping that once he gets in, then all the drama wasn't going to start, because it kicked off with the Michael Flynn thing. Well, his name was Michael Flynn, right? I think so.
Yeah.
It kicked off with Michael Flynn. That started actually before he got into the office. And then the British that went on their parliament floor and started talking junk about him, the British Parliament.
Well, they just said that he wasn't welcome at
that
Parliament.
So,
right.
And then everything in between. His daughter getting special privileges and just everything. So, I was hoping it was going to be less drama, but I was, that was just hoping.
Right. Well, he is drama. He is drama. Drama is his middle name. It is what he creates everywhere he goes. So.
Donald Drama Trump.
I mean, if you don't create drama, you don't get a reality TV show, right? I mean, it's impossible to get a reality TV show if you're not a person who constantly creates drama.
And yeah.
So he does it. He's an actor. And
what if we have our first drama. Presidential reality TV show?
It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
I wonder if he'll try to make it happen.
No, he's not going to make that
don't
happen.
Don't put anything above him. Not this one.
No, because again, people would see like actually like what a president has to do, and he might not like that. So.
Okay.
He
was wearing
just
some nice pants when he was playing golf that day, too.
So he's got that going for him.
Pictures? Anyway. But yeah, man, so the mother of all bombs was dropped. And so we know that our last president and this president is going to handle terrorism a lot different. The last president, when he wanted to get a terrorist, he actually sent in teams to make sure they get that one person that they're trying to get, or that one group of people they're trying to get, and then come back out with anybody else unharmed. As little people, as little casualties as possible, and as little innocent people getting hurt as possible. And this one just wants to blow up Miles to destroy whatever they think is there or whatever's there. So there's going to be more innocent casualties or innocent victims with this president. You see that? Think not? Yes, yes, no, maybe so?
No, so it just depends, I think, right? I mean, you don't know anything about where they dropped that bomb. There might not have been anything there other than Al-Qaeda or whatever it is now, the ISIS people.
I don't think you could destroy that many miles. That whole compound is just
it was
one
a
type of people.
2 mile radius.
Okay.
Two mile radius.
In a 2 mile radius, I'm very sure. They can say whatever they want. But
right.
I think common sense is that there's going to be innocent people in the 2 mile radius.
Well,
you're going to blow
right.
up a whole compound.
I can tell you, though, that
maybe
there are probably many, many parents, brothers, and sisters of military people who might prefer that other than their military family member going over there to get one person. So, right? Could there be both sides to that? Could it be saving American lives? Maybe we need to trust our intel that we're receiving, hope it's correct.
I think as America and the...
Or should we back out and let them figure it out on their own?
Well, the purpose that we're here for is, I guess we're supposed to be the world police now, but...
That's what NATO is.
It's not what...
Why wouldn't we just
back out? Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. We're supposed to be world police because we're trying to put ourselves in the world police category, but we have a whole police for the world for that anyway. I mean, if you're going to... Why did I get out of South subject just quick? Hold on. What was your question?
Well, what
I'm thinking about Dre over there looking sleepy as hell tonight.
Yeah, and so I am sleepy, but that isn't why I'm not talking.
Oh.
Yeah. So
basically you trade off potential innocent lives for military service members. And there's always that chance. And the only way to solve both of those
mm-hmm.
is to not even worry about them. But then if you don't worry about them, then there's plenty of innocent lives that are going to be taken on a daily basis by ISIS members. So at what point is there you can't win, can you?
But the way we should be able to see this is what the way I see it is I joined the military to fight. Well, I joined it for other reasons, but one of the reasons why I joined the military, as you know, in your contract, your first order is to fight for the country.
Right.
You lose all your rights, all your personal rights, you lose in order to protect the rights of everyone else, which means sometimes you got to go to war. Sometimes you have to be out there on the front line. Sometimes you're going to be on the front line and a lot of people are going to die. That's what you sign up for. So I'm not saying that I have no sympathy or the parents and they shouldn't worry, but that's what we are there for. That's what the military is there for. So I think in a situation like that, we have a military. We have the strongest military in the world, according to this guy that told me that in about 17 podcasts ago. Then we should actually use our military.
Okay, but at what point, obviously we were creating these bombs and we're building these things. We're not building them to sit in a warehouse. At what point should we be using them?
That doesn't mean anything. We had atomic bombs that we did not build
That's
to
what I'm saying.
Sit in a warehouse. And then when we used it, we was like, oh, shit. We should have just kept that shit in the warehouse.
No, they knew what it was going to do. They knew exactly what it was going to do.
Yeah, but when the world saw it, too, they was like, oh, you know what? We made a mistake. We should have kept that in the warehouse. And no one else can have these type of bombs because you see what it does? No, we right. can't have these type of bombs out there. So then you're going to have a bomb that does just as much damage, just doesn't look as bad, and you're gonna still lay it out there.
But that's my question again. Where do we draw the line? Do we allow ISIS to kill innocent people? Do we kill innocent people, or do we send our troops in and let them die?
So
what do we do?
Hard to go
what are
home.
Our options here?
So go hard or go home. But we have a military.
But what does go home? What does go hard or go home mean?
We have a military. Before dropping bombs and killing all those innocent people, which is the reason why we have people over there in the first place, because we claim that they are sending people over here killing all our innocent people, are sending people out to London and England and even each other. We claim they are out there killing all these innocent people. So why are we going on their same level? We're supposed to be better than them. So why would we stoop to the same level? We have a military. Send the military out there. Level them. If you want to go that route, level them. Send our military out there, level them. Come back. Or if you don't want to do anything, sit your ass home, protect our own country.
Yeah, but innocent people are going to die as well in a military engagement.
But then it's actual war. So what we're doing right now is we're saying that since we're not calling it a war, it's not a war.
We've been at war in a long time.
This is war.
We haven't been at war, and I'm doing air quotes here. We are
attacking people.
We have not been at war. They are attacking us. Per the Congress, mm-hmm, in a long, long time.
So we are at war. We haven't claimed war, but we have been at war. So we can't. I mean, have we ever said that Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom was over? Do we have an end date to that?
It wasn't a war.
Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom?
It was an operation.
It wasn't a war. It wasn't approved by Congress.
I'm saying, but you don't call that a war? Because I was in those.
I mean, me as a general citizen, I would say yes.
Yes.
But per the Senate and, mm-hmm, and the laws of our land, no, it was not a war.
And I understand that, and I know that it was operation, blah, blah, blah. But in that fight, there was a war because I was there. And it's the same thing that's going on now. The only thing we're doing now is still not calling it a war, but just trying to get rid of people as much as possible.
So if there is a neighborhood bully that comes over in your front yard and he and your son start to fight, do you not call that a fight until the officials come and say, what these two young men just had was a fight?
No, like, it's a fight. That's what I said. As a general citizen, I would consider that to be a war. But per our funding policies by the government, it wasn't technically a war, you know.
So what changes? I mean, obviously, there was nothing when they technically say, when they technically declare that it is a war.
They can throw more money at it. They can ration. They can do all kinds of crazy things.
The biggest thing is they declare war is the president sits. You don't vote for a new president in war. So that's the biggest thing. That might be why they never declared war with Obama in there. But it's a war. We're at war right now.
Yeah, I mean, our military operations are happening at the same level as any other time during our country. So it's not like we've slowed down at all. I mean, this is...
And we bombing innocent people and claiming to be better. That's my biggest thing. So over the first 100 days, that's the one thing I don't like.
Do you not trust that we're being better?
No, we're not being better. I don't trust that we're being better because we're not being better. My own two eyes see that.
Why? Because we dropped a bomb?
Because we're killing innocent people. All right, so...
But how do you know innocent people were killed?
Huh?
Who told you that innocent people were killed?
I'm pretty sure that you can see it with your eyes. No one had to tell us that when them Twin Towers fell, the innocent people got killed. We knew that.
Right.
So... When they go bomb a complex in a mountain,
but
2 mile radius.
They weren't going for a military facility when they were going for the Twin Towers, like we were going for the tunnels, supposedly. It's a completely different situation.
In that complex, do you feel like it was only 100% military or military people there?
I don't know. I have no way of giving you a good answer on that.
Deduce.
Obviously not.
Obviously not.
Yeah, there's going to be women there.
And that's a 2 mile radius, which means it's a 4 mile diameter.
No, total.
It was a 2 mile diameter?
Yes.
Okay. So
1 mile from the blast point each direction.
So what's 2 miles away from here?
I don't know, not that far.
The interstate.
No, interstate is close as hell.
No. Oh, I mean, if you just did a straight line that intersected everything in its path, but if you were driving from here to the interstate, that would be 2 miles.
Yeah. Mm.
The back way, right?
anyway. If you drive from here to the interstate, it's 2 miles.
It's a big area.
Yeah, it's 2 miles. Area.
So yeah. I mean, so
and so to your point, there is a lot that lies between here and the interstate. Yeah. So yes, while Derek is very slow to answer your question, even though he knows what you're asking, the probability that a lot of innocent people were in that area is great.
Right. And even if it's not a lot, even if it's some innocent people, with us being America claiming that we are better than them, than the people that we're fighting. And don't get me wrong, I'm for America. But it's like when your parents or your wife or your friends fight, you're going to be with that person in public. You will fight with them. And then behind closed doors, y'all go talk about it.
So at what point are we justified to attack them?
We're not. Are they in our land attacking us?
So that's the point?
They're not attacking us right now. They're attacking each other.
I'm just asking you, what point in your brain says it's okay for us to attack them?
In my brain is when they start attacking us.
Okay. All
right. So for me, it's not even a question of at what point is it okay or is it right or is it wrong or aren't we supposed to be better? Like, that isn't even the question. I think the reason that I have tuned out, the reason that I no longer give any of this
I hate this, man, because I tuned out in the beginning.
Much attention.
Y'all tuning out now.
Because now there's this sort of, I don't even know the adjective to use to properly describe the rhetoric that's taking place now. But it's this sort of, this sort of rationale, let's reason, let's look at it from all sides, let's consider everything. But we did none of this under the last president. Like there was not, like, everyone who opposed the last president, there was just like this blatant disrespect and disregard for everything that he did, how he chose to do it. It was just no.
Oh, hell no. He put on his shoes, one shoe at a time.
Just a complete shutdown. But now, like, because see, here's the thing. The reason I'm not even interested in debating anymore, because 45 is the same ridiculous that he is right now. He was that same ridiculous 100 days before his 100 days, right? Like, we knew that he was absolutely ridiculous. Like, this is nothing new. But in all of his ridiculousness, now everybody sees it. Everybody absolutely sees it. Everybody sees it, but nobody will speak on it. Everybody says, well, let's just, you know, well, I mean, what do you think we should do? Like, I mean, well, he's only been able to, well, he's messed so much up. Well, you haven't. I'm done. Like, I'm done. Because it's absolutely ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
You definitely have unplugged then. That is the truth, because you cannot look at almost any left news source without them talking about how ridiculous he is on every single decision he makes. I mean, it's there. It's blatant at this point which news source falls on. I mean, it's very, very blatant.
And so has that changed?
No, it's been the same way.
Right.
It always has been.
So the ones who are still for him are for him, and the ones who've always been against him are still against him. Like, that hasn't changed.
I mean,
changed.
They're following the party line. I mean, that's just what they're doing. That's what they've always done.
Yeah. So
it didn't matter who was in the presidency.
Yeah, so even in my tuning out, like, I clearly haven't missed anything.
Nope.
No, I'm just saying that the criticism is definitely there. It's not that they're just letting him fly.
Right, no.
Like,
but
well,
this is but what I'm saying is that those who initially supported him, and I wouldn't expect that they would say this, but those who initially supported him are the same people that emphatically opposed President Obama. Okay, so there was
that's true. I didn't emphatically oppose Obama.
I wasn't talking about you directly. So people that I've come in contact with, conversations that I've had, those who emphatically opposed President Obama and who were definitely pro 45, even in the wake of some of the decisions that he has made, which at the end of the day, at a minimum, should raise question to any rational thinking adult. Like, those people still, because they're not going to be wrong, so those people still are saying, well, and it's these excuses. So that's where I've clocked out. Because you can't justify some of the stuff that he's done and the manner in which he's done it. Like, even if and maybe this is my own hang up. Maybe this is just where I get caught up. But, you know, even I just think even if you're coming into a situation, I don't care what that situation is, but if you're coming into a leadership role, even if you think that the last leader just did a piss poor job, like you think everything that they did was just ridiculous, I don't know that you necessarily come in saying that. I don't know that you necessarily come in on day one attempting, even if you aren't successful, but attempting to have this show of undoing everything that they've done. Like, I just don't know that that's the way that you should do it.
That
I
happens a lot with the presidencies.
I don't know that we've ever seen it happen
when they
to this degree.
Party lines.
I don't know that we've ever seen it happen to this degree.
But also, you've never seen a president like Obama either, who's come in and made these large, outstanding changes for the general public. That hasn't happened before him. Like, he made a lot of changes that we have never seen before.
But there was a pace involved, right? Yeah. Like, he didn't come into office and sit down with his fiery pen and just start. Because
George Bush didn't do anything. He had nothing to change.
The only thing he did was go to war for his dad.
I mean, he didn't make any change. He brought No Child Left Behind. That's still here.
So let's not comparatively speak. Let's just talk about 45 coming into office and putting in place this sort of unprecedented behavior that I don't think would be a good decision for any leader, let alone for the leader of the free world.
Right. And so I am going to say a few things about that, because presidencies, especially during election time frames, they always rip into the other president. Even if it's the current president, they rip into them, and then when they get in the office, they back up a little bit, and they'll try to repeal some stuff.
So, at what phase are you talking about? Are you talking about like on the campaign trail?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course, because you're selling yourself. Right.
But then once they get into office, they back up a little bit. They don't start directly
attacking
anymore.
So where was his backup? Where was
45? He does not yeah, directly attack Obama anymore.
He does not
directly attack him anymore.
Ooh, I miss Richard McGregor.
He did. When he was on the campaign trail, man, he was ripping him a new one, as well as Hillary was. But they were still, as soon as he got into office, he stopped the direct threats like he would always do, which made him even get all these people riled up about him in the first place. He stopped all of that.
I wish I could remember what he
riled
said.
Riled up in positive and negative manner.
He said something less
he
than
stopped
a month
all
ago.
Of that.
Less than a month ago.
What'd he say?
I wish I could remember. Because I was like, damn, he's still at it? That was my reaction.
I haven't seen anything like when he was on the campaign trail.
I cannot remember.
Because when he was on the campaign trail, it was like every day, boom, boom. He was saying something else about the previous administration, naming the person directly who was making that decision. I mean, he was holding nothing back like we know him to do, and now he's kind of stepped back from that a little bit. Maybe not completely, saying.
We'll settle on a little bit, yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from, though.
Yeah, so. All right, so where do you see this going? I mean, we still got like 265 days left for his first year.
Hell meat handbasket.
Three more years after that. What do you see the next, I guess it's 3 1/3 year?
Well, as you can see from the first 100 days, he can't do anything unless he has support from the Congress.
Like any president.
He can't.
Which is why we wasn't.
He is a glorified figurehead. He has to have the House and the Congress back him up on everything. And if they don't, he can do nothing. And that's very apparent from what's already happened. The only thing he's done is a Supreme Court justice. That's
so,
it. He's done nothing else.
GOP, regular. Well, GOP is Tea Party, right?
GOP is
Republicans.
Party.
That's regular Republicans?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tea Party are the right Republicans.
The
right
Republicans.
Right,
yes.
Right. All right. So, Tea Party, Republican, Democrats. We know he's not Democratic. Out of those, that Republic and the Tea Party, which one is he closer to line to?
I think during the election or the campaign trail, he was trying to line himself with the Tea Party, but I don't think he's there now.
But
I
you think
he's
like
moved
right
a little
now,
bit closer to the center line, but he's still definitely on the right.
Okay. Right is
Republican.
Cool. I always thought right was Democratic.
No, it's the left.
Anyway. All right, so... With that being said, so we're moving back into Republic. Republic presidency, right? So I think for the next 4 years, we're going to go back into maybe supporting businesses and basically turning, I ain't going to say turning your backs on the poor people or the less fortunate people or whatever.
When you say supporting business, you're referring to big business.
Big business.
Okay, yeah.
He said he's going to, he said, didn't he say that he was going to implement a plan for small businesses too?
Well, you know, that's what he said. He says a lot of things, but I don't believe that.
I always see everything. The bigger your business, the more discounted you get.
Yeah, it's definitely where the tax breaks are being given.
The urban side, the people that voted for him in small rural cities, towns, and all of that, I don't see them benefiting at all. Nothing's going to come from that. So, I mean, it's going to be some upset people in about 4 years.
As you mentioned before, the only way that they're going to benefit is by voting in their state elections.
Right.
That's it.
So, that's basically what I see. I see a bunch of disappointed people, but not for... I think it's because they expected something completely different whenever they voted.
And so that's what I don't get. That's what is so frustrating and incomprehensible to me.
Ooh, I can understand that one.
Well, I only said it like that because you and I had a very heated debate over what that word actually means. but that's what I do not understand, because I don't know how anyone in rural, lower income America could look at 45 and think that he was their guy. I don't care how many times he did his song and dance about saving jobs. I don't know how you could look at him and his life and think, yep, he's that guy that's going to make sure that the local paper mill doesn't shut down.
I got a theory.
And I'm going to have a job to support me and my kids. Yep, he's my guy.
I got a theory. And Orange Man looks like he has a very bad tan. Like he went out in the sun and overdid it with some bad, cheap sunscreen. It looks like... So, with that look, he kind of looks like a poor person that won the lottery or got rich and decided to...
In the words of Dolly Parton, don't get it twisted. It cost a lot to look that cheap.
But, I mean, it's just that look. So, even with knowing what Donald Trump is...
Maybe that's it. Maybe you might be onto something. Like maybe because he doesn't look polished.
Right.
He's somehow more relatable. But I mean, just the level of opulence that he lives in, I just don't understand how you could think that he would be concerned with the thing. Yes, I will give you that. There are other presidents, other politicians who look more polished. Their suits are better fitting. They look more professional, and maybe that isn't relatable. So maybe people look at him and they look at, you know, his clownish presentation and they think, oh, he's just a regular guy with a whole lot of money. But no, he isn't. He isn't a regular guy.
Narcissistic is what they call them.
So, Andre, back to what you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The big the, business the, before this D, whole the way you orange right now, stuff happened.
The way you're sitting right now, Dito.
I was waiting for you to be done with your orange whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you understand why the Republican Party backs big businesses, correct?
Theoretically.
Because their whole purpose is that the whole mind frame there is that if you fund a big business, you cut taxes for a big business, or you put more money into a big business, they have the ability to create more jobs. That's the purpose. So that's what they've always said. I don't know the stats on it, how they've always done with that. I don't know that.
That's the stated purpose, yeah.
I don't know that, but that's the purpose, is if you put more money into a big business, they will have the ability to create more jobs, and most of those jobs are going to be factory operator level positions. So if you believe that...
I don't.
But if you do, then that is why that rural American is going to vote, who works at the paper mill, is going to vote for Trump. Because they have seen in the past where people have funded the paper mill, and all of a sudden more jobs show up.
People in my hometown get so that, ecstatic.
That's just where that's coming from. That's the mind frame of those people.
About getting a job at the chicken plant.
When they
I think that is the stated mind frame. I think that is their position. That is the position that they present to justify their platform. But I don't think that's their position.
So what's the reasoning behind what they're thinking to be voting for someone that they don't necessarily believe in?
I can tell
you
what
trust.
You can see with your own eyes is that the unemployment rate was higher during the last Republican presidency than the Democratic presidency.
Well, that was also during a recession, right? Correct.
That was self-caused by that whole presidency. If you look at the background, how that happened, especially that and that war, all that was combined.
Well, the housing market crashed because of Clinton. So, I mean, you can place blames on certain things.
Well, I don't know that Clinton is to blame for the crash of the housing market.
Who?
Banking is to blame.
Yeah. Which he is the one who allowed the regulation for that.
Right.
The subprime loans is his whole brain trust.
Yeah. That's why I don't have these conversations anymore. Because when it comes to that, when it comes to the Democrats, or when it comes to anything, that it's always reduced to that lowest common denominator. But then when we talk about 45, there are always these tons of other variables that need to be considered.
No. First of all,
we have nothing other than 100 days to go off.
The housing market crashed right around the time when I got out of the military. That was well into Bush years.
Exactly.
And that came
It's not
going to
crash all of a sudden
did.
Just because of the subprime loan regulations
it's
that he allowed.
It still is going to take less than 4 years for subprime loans, if that was a problem, to crash. The thing that happened was they released the cap on housing. They let anybody and everybody get loans. I was one of those anybody and
subprime
everybody,
loans.
By the way.
Correct.
But even though it was signed, even if it was signed in the Clinton years, it was taken advantage of in the Bush years.
Right.
So,
I mean, not just going to be like, okay, that guy's gone, so we're not going to take advantage of the situation where you can buy your own house.
No, what it is you still have a president that kept reign over it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You still got to keep a reign over your rules. Anyway.
All million regulations you got to keep reign over? Yeah.
That's why you're the president of the United States of America. You could push a button and kill the world. You could also tell people they can't get a damn loan because they poor.
That's what they're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, they just released that. In this presidency, they re-released it. Obama put a cap on it.
So what are you talking about?
Oh, this is what happened. We had this whole conversation before at an earlier run of our first podcast. Well, Trump got in. Well, when they went back and they released that law to let the banks start sending out loans to anybody again.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to look that up. I didn't see that.
I mean, we talked about it on that.
Because that would have been the only that would have been the only other thing that he has done other than appoint a justice.
Yeah, that was one of the first things he did. He put the power back into the market to buy and sell houses, and then he decided to raise the interest rate, so it goes up every day now.
Cool.
Sounds like everyone's done. You got anything?
Not on this.
No, not on this. D?
I don't know, man. I could talk all night about it.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
We can. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
That's right.
Like, he just took his Mr. Rogers jacket off and just putting undoing his shoes to put his slippers on.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
If you like to get in contact with us, you can email us at
that voice is creepy.
It's creepy?
Yep.
Okay, then. If you'd like to get in contact with us,
thank you.
You can reach us at thedistractionnetwork@gmail.com or you can hit us on Facebook at DistractNet. Or our Twitter is @distract_net. You can also look us up on our website at www.distractionnetwork.com. Take care and be safe. Bye. I'm
focus on that finish line. Developing a strong mind. Years ago, they stopped making my kind. Yeah, I lose sleep, but it's alright, cause I'm on the grind.